So just allow yourself to flow into, from sound meditation really, into a deeper meditation that Anders says so beautifully created a space for you to connect here together, collectively, in this beautiful land on Richard Wagner's home. We are guests here on his land, among the beautiful trees, feeling the wind, brother wind, blowing on your faces, the warmth of the sun, of course, Mother Earth beneath you. Some of you even taking off your shoes and you can feel her loving you, caressing you from under your feet, filling you up, infusing you, merging with you, energies of the earth, energies of healing, energies of crystalline energies, because you are in one of the purest places of crystalline energies on the planet, and you can feel that love, that dimension that communicates with you here so strongly now. So you allow yourself to sink in, fall into that place of the crystal that you are, that is inside of you, from the smallest molecules in your body to the energetic and little crystalline templates and temples and geometrical patterns and frequencies and energies and resonances. Allow yourself to expand your crystalline structure with the help of the crystalline land that you are sitting in, bathing in this energy, literally. Before we come ever to Earth, we are first energy, and energy creates us, and energy is what makes us. We are a bit more dense now in our bodies, but we are pure light energy, comes here to experience a beautiful day in a beautiful land. And maybe when you were out this morning and went out on your little personal excursions to find the crystal that is calling for you, with the message for you, with a feeling, with an intuition, with a certain consciousness. That's another way that Gaia communicates with you, and also reflects back to you the beauty and the source and the instructability that you are, that you are an infinite, beautiful crystal, has no beginning and no end, and is always, after you clean it up, you know, when you go home, you can see how shiny, sparkle, full of light and beauty it has. It's a reflection of us. So again, we are invited to take those deep breaths with all this pure prana, oxygen energy that we don't always get an opportunity to be in this kind of an environment, especially when we live in cities and places. And this is an invitation to find that beauty, stillness, deep place of peace and coherence and appreciation and benevolence and harmony and balance and all the benevolent attributes that are filling up this place and filling up you, loving you, and allow yourself to open and expand your being even more. Loving yourself and allowing yourself to be loved even more. Because Spirit already loves us beyond measures that we cannot even comprehend. And many times all they ask us is to learn how to love ourselves while we are in these bodies for this period of time. To learn how to love ourselves even more, and through that love, through that unconditional love, then we bring it forth and we share it just by being that love, reflecting that love, sending that love, feeling that love. Wherever we go, we don't have to use words, we just use our love. And that love seeps in and soothes the hearts and minds and beings that walk in and out of our lives through our lifetime. And they don't have that necessarily awareness and time to do the things that we come here to do, to connect with Source and to immerse ourselves in this beautiful soul collective family that we know where the Source is coming from. But when we are embodying it, that in our way of living, in our conduct, in our day-to-day awareness and consciousness, they feel it. They may not know exactly what we are doing or what we are being, and it doesn't matter. Our presence alone feeds and shows them and gives them hope and gives them love and gives them peace of mind, peace of heart, and knowing that they are safe and all is well, because we are lighthouses. And we have this purpose, in a way, to bring that light, that crystalline that is inside of us, back to our homes, to our communities, to our families, to our cities. So breathe as much as you allow yourself to, and immerse yourself more as the teachings and the channelings that will continue.
I'm so super excited about this new homes all these crystals are going to. And so with your crystal, and again, this is just an invitation. You do what is guided by you to do. But I feel a really lovely way is to blow 3 times the breath of your mana onto your crystal. So if you feel inclined to do that, you blow onto your crystal 3 times. Take a breath. Take another breath. And you are invited to tell your crystal, I am here. And I exist as a part of the earth. I am here and I exist as a part of the celestial realm, for my DNA is terrestrial and celestial at the same time. I carry within me a piece of the Creator. My soul is entangled with the energy of the earth, and therefore I am also entangled with the energy of this crystal that has found me. This crystal that has been in the area, the energy, the potency of the Pleiadian portal of Mount Ida Hot Springs, Arkansas. Well before humanity was on Earth, this point was chosen as a place where unique energy would be deposited and placed, Should humanity ever decide that it would choose the path of ascension. And certain things had to happen and align for this place to have those unique energies come online, if you will, with a matched pair. And in this instance, that matched pair is Mount Fitzroy in Patagonia, the area, the region where the whales come to birth their calf. Generations of whales will be birthing in waters that have been recalibrated to a different frequency because of what humanity chose on Earth. Those who sit here are invited to feel the push-pull energy that is happening even as we speak between these nodes and knolls, designed to fast-track humanity into graduate ascension status. Your DNA has an antenna that both transmits and receives information. And this antenna that is transmitting and receiving is designed to work with benevolent consciousness of compassion. And the ones who created this system, the Pleiadians, the Star Mothers, that divine feminine energy, they are still here in a non-corporeal form. They have been waiting for you to come here so that you can feel closer and closer and closer to your own seed biology. And the closeness does not come from the location. The closeness comes from your remembrance of what you carry inside. And the invitation is to leave this place with that essence. Take that essence of the Star Mothers, benevolence, compassion, wisdom, guidance, enhanced abilities home with you. And so we wish to finish out this segment with just one moment of silence so that each of you can experience a personal connection without any other influence outside of you other than what is here. Indeed, it would be easy to spend a full hour in this silence. But when you are ready, I invite you to bring your awareness back in your body. Open your eyes. We give gratitude, so much gratitude, for all of the magic of today. And so, beloved, over to you.
Thank you, Monica. One of the things that Monica and I have wanted to do for some time is one of the most difficult things I can think of to teach because I didn't really truly have the concepts finished. So I wasn't ready to teach something that I wasn't fully comfortable with. And Cryon said, do it anyway. And it's intuition. So we started a course on intuition. And there are four sections. And I'm going to give you a hint of four scenarios that Cryon gave me to teach so that we could show the difference and then start analyzing what was there and what was not there in order to understand through intuition in ways that perhaps people don't think of it. Okay, here's number one. A mother is asleep in her home. Her newborn infant is in the room which is next to her in a little bed, a crib, only been home a few days. Everything is quiet. The infant has gone to sleep just recently. The mother has gone to sleep. She's going to get what sleep she can before she knows the infant will awake. And she gets an intuition. Get up and go into that room. Now. Mothers in this group will understand this. This is classic. You don't say no to that kind of an intuition. And you get up. She found the infant was struggling with a plastic wrapper on the mattress, one that had not been taken off properly. She turned the infant over, probably saved his life, looked up at the ceiling and said, "Whatever angel you are, thank you." That's scenario number one. What just happened? If you start doing the research on it, it is so common between mother and child. It is a bonded intuition, they call it. And they will say that it is almost an entangled intuition because of the mother and the child's proximity, biology, the everything, you name it. No science is ever given to that. It only is there for you to analyze and say, well, of course that would be the case because they're bonded together in some way. And then they leave it alone. And if you're a science-minded person, it leaves it completely blank. How? What is the mechanism that was involved in that transmission from the baby to the mom? Here's number two. Identical twins. Two brothers. This is real. I have talked to them. One in China, one in California. The one in China was visiting. And the one in California, the intuition was, call your brother now. Called his brother on the cell phone that he knew worked from the one who was in China, was answered right away because it was daytime. And the one said, what's going on? And his brother said, Mom has just passed. I was trying to get a hold of you. Instant, the same instant between them. What just happened? Now we get a little more scientific because the only thing they have in common besides being brothers is what? The DNA. This is the first inkling that perhaps DNA is a transmitter and a receiver. And you just heard it here. If that were the case, it also explains mom and infant having just been born, having shared that, not just intimacy, but the chemistry portions of the DNA, mitochondrial. What if that was what was going on? So we're getting closer, perhaps, to understanding until the next two. Number three. Woman is driving on the road at night. Her young son is asleep next to her. They're traveling on a freeway. All is fine. All is well. Weather is okay. And she gets the signal, pull over. Now, almost as strong perhaps as a policeman may, but it pulled up next to her with a loudspeaker, pull over. That's the way that she describes it. And she pulled over. Then she realized there was no policeman, there was no loudspeaker, and she heard it in her head. And nobody else is pulling over. And she doesn't know why, but she's visibly shaken. to have such a message given to her in that manner. So she stays for a moment, calms herself. 5 minutes go by, maybe seven. She feels it's safe to continue. She goes out, rounds the bend, and she sees the overturned truck with several cars that have plowed into it. She would have been one of them. What happened? Aha! Whose DNA is involved? The truck driver? No. What else is happening there that nobody is thinking about? But I will tell you, this is also an exceptionally common occurrence with people who are tuned in. Number four. This was before, Monica. At 9/11, we were on a cruise around Hawaii. We got news like everybody else did at some point. We were in Hawaii. Turn on the television. Turn on the television. We did. We saw what had occurred on the Twin Towers. Of course, our reactions were like everybody else's. We wanted to get a meditation together just to help those people to deal with this. One of the attendees in the group that we had with us for the cruise had a daughter who actively worked on one of the higher floors of the Twin Towers. You can imagine what she was feeling like right there. She had been calling, no answer. Calling, no answer. Now we understand that you couldn't call New York at that point, not at least Manhattan, because all of the lines were tied up. It was overdone. There's a limit to what a cell tower will be able. If everybody called it at once, it would fail. And that's what was going on there. And people reported that it took hours and hours before any calls really were able to go in and out, especially from those relatives who were concerned. So it was later in the day that we saw her crying. Oh boy. I didn't know what to do. Do I approach her? Do I not? It's just difficult. This is difficult. Then I saw a smile. And I realized she was sobbing in relief. She had got a hold of her daughter at home because her daughter never went in for work. Because something, when she woke up at 6:30 in the morning, getting ready to go to the Twin Towers, to go to work at 9, something had said, don't go today. And she didn't go. Where did that come from? Do you see why I was so interested? I want to know a little more about it. So I'll give it to you and tell you that this course, a little bit scientific, a little bit more practical than you'd think, not as esoteric as you'd imagine, deals with how do we connect with the field. The field is a consciousness of everything that's happening on the planet all at once. It's been measured. That's what Lynn McTaggart's book is about. We use it all the time. Can you have intuition not just with your relatives and friends or children or twins? Could you have it with the earth, with that which is around you, with circumstances? Every single one of us needs intuition just to get to the next step. Should I come to this conference? Should I not? What's next for me after this? I've got some things pending. Maybe some of you are buying property or whatever. You're unsure. You have to rent something. And what are you counting on? Well, in an old way, you count on facts and logic and this, and you check this out. In a new way, you're relaxed and you say, it doesn't matter. I'll know at the last possible moment. It'll be fine. That's intuition. It's you connecting with the field. Monica and I had that in ways that it's just difficult to describe to you because it all sounds miraculous. Where we had to move into a new place that everybody else wanted. Over 100 emails had come into the owner for renting the place. He was exasperated. It was a Sunday morning. We saw it go online. We saw it being offered within an hour. Monica said, let's call him at home. You don't call the owner at home on an online service. But there was his number. And she called him at home. And he was just listening. And she said, basically, we're the people you're going to rent to. It sounds like Star Wars. And she said, you must be frustrated. He said, I've got over 150 emails. I don't know what to do. And she said, you don't have to worry. Talk to Lee. I said the same thing. And I said, whatever you're offered, we'll be fair with it. But where are your tenants? We'll take care of your place. And we did. That very day, we signed the lease. That's Sunday. This was the intuition that we count on. Intuition that is in touch with the field. What are the attributes? What are the steps? How can you be helped with it? That's what the course is about. I wanted to just share that with you. Because most people won't get the inside information of, you know, how the course was developed or whatever. It was channeled. There's one more section, number 4, that we're doing in a week. I haven't written it yet. And you'd think that it's like writing a book. Well, you've got to write it because you're going to record it. It's going to be out. And the team that wants to sell it says, well, I got to have it now. I got to have it now. And I say, oh, you get it when you get it. And when Cryon says go, I pay attention, and I write. And that's being in touch not with crying, but with the field, with yourself, with that which is around you. Timing is everything. This is the other thing. We have free choice. All of us do. So if you're working with a problem or a situation where you've got to do something within our culture, rent a place, buy a place, anything, or all the pieces are moving around, that's why it only happens at the last moment. Because that's when spirit sees the hole that you're supposed to go into and work at, because everything is set. Before that, it's not right. Does that make sense to you? Thanks for listening to that. Let's have a crying channel. Greetings, dear ones. I'm Cryon of Magnetic Service. It's not often that we sit outside and channel for a group, a soul group that knows each other. And I'm not talking about that which you would think, that you've met those and you know their names. I'm speaking of a soul knowing. What if I told you that the potential of the exact ones who are here was known in advance because it fell together perfectly, that you would be here under the trees with me? Under the trees. Sitting on a mountain of crystal, an energy which has no scientific proof, but that affects that which is you call consciousness. It talks to you. And some of you know you can talk back. There are those who would say, well, this is silly and this is nonsense and it really doesn't work that way in the real world. Oh, really? I will tell you what happens. In so many countries where there is a strong emphasis on the ancestors' belief systems that are modern countries, one of them is Ireland, where they're very, very careful when they draw property lines to steer around the fairy trees and never disturb them, never pull them up. This is the government's decision, and this has been the way of it. There are other officials and governments who will go out of their way when they build something to be careful that it is appropriate with that which is the energy of the land, the shamans, all of that, that invisible fairy stuff that so many say is ridiculous. Ends up in Parliament when they have to draw the lines. There is a subtle acknowledgement still to this day of some of the ancestors' wisdom when it comes to the energy of the earth. The energy of the earth. Where are you sitting? The crystalline remembers. This mountain of crystals will never forget you being here. And I'm giving you a truism, a truth. The crystalline grid remembers who visits where because of the energy that is developed in consciousness that you have. But it is amplified if you recognize it. How many of you are willing internally to say, I love you, planet Earth? This is understood, it is heard, it is acknowledged, and the ancients all knew it. They knew it. We've lost that, you'd say, as humans. You're right, you have. But that doesn't mean you cannot rekindle it, because it's inside you, dormant, ready to be rekindled. You don't have to learn it again. You don't have to learn love. You come in with everything intact, sacred. Mastery is there, and then it's trained out of you. And then your culture has its way with you. And then you learn what's appropriate and not appropriate, and then it goes and hides in the back room. Maybe until today. How many of you are willing to say, I believe that there is an energy, a life kind of energy, in the crystalline of the planet that knows me? And you don't have to say that out loud to anyone. It's about allowance inside you. Back to Ireland. The group that was there, much like a group here, was sitting around a group of rocks, a sacred group of rocks. And the meditation began by an Irish woman who was born there and lived there and knew of the energy. And the first thing she said is this phrase, the rocks are breathing. In other words, they're breathing in her accent. The rocks are breathing. The rocks are breathing. This was her acknowledgement of a belief that they have had all along, that there is life in the elementals of planet Earth that we think are dormant, that have no life, and that these elementals know us. Not just know us, placed here for us, for you, for all that is humanity, for me too. And so what I am giving you here in this brief time is a lineage of belief that says this planet of yours has a kind of multidimensional life that knows you. Now, the next question is, how do they feel about you? That's a hard one. There is no consciousness like yours, but there is something else. You should know this. This planet is here to serve you. Take a breath. Go ahead, take a breath. That oxygen was given you by the trees, by the moss, by the lichens, all over the planet, poured into the atmosphere so you can survive. As you exhale, you realize that you are giving the trees, the lichen, the moss, what they need to survive. A symbiotic relationship, which science simply takes for granted and says, isn't it nice, isn't it interesting? Could it be it's a part of another life form besides trees and lichens? What if it's the earth itself? What is its attitude toward you? I will tell you, no matter what you are told you have done to this planet, which is awful, and there's been a lot of awful stuff, this planet is here to love and support you. I have just given something that is extremely controversial. It's a benevolent planet for you. Wherever you go, all you're going to find is support. That's the design, dear ones. That's the design. A partnership with Gaia. A partnership to the extent that the ancients all knew it and used it, worked with it, counted on it. And in there somewhere is all that you are starting to reawaken to. Is it possible that there's more going on here than you think? Is it possible the planet itself has a kind of sentience, maybe even an attitude, that says, please come back. We miss you. And what are they talking about when they say that to you? When the crystals look at you here sitting and say, please come back, we've missed you. What they are saying is that your ancestors, old soul, knew who they were. And you don't. It's almost like they're holding their hand out. The elementals, the rocks that are breathing, you might say, that say, when your alliance is complete with us, that is the beginning of mastery for you. And that has to make sense. Can you imagine the frustration of the ancients who are still alive, who look at the civilization and say, they threw away their partner. None of their religions even mention it. This is the shift, dear ones. Many things are changing right now, but the most that is changing is your relationship to each other, to spirit, to your soul, and to the planet. It's almost like welcome back. That's what's changing. And that's why I wanted to sit here on this mountain of crystals as they talk to you today. And they're smiling. As the teacher Monica said, there is no such thing as digging into the ground and finding a doom crystal. Doesn't work that way. Because this planet is in love with you. I am Kryon. I am in love with you. And so it is.